Hey everybody, this is Richard Jackson.
And this is John Jerk.
And we are back, recording once again from prison.
Throckmorton Penitentiary.
That's right.
Welcome to the show.
Yeah, things have not quite gone my way thus far. Just, you know, to get you guys acquainted with what's been happening. Basically, I did go through and I had my appeal process. I had the trial, the whole thing went through. I represented myself.
Which I told you not to.
You did tell me not to.
But you went ahead and did that.
I did go ahead and do it. I thought, as I said before, that the fact that I was there would give me an edge, you know.
Right.
But in the end, ultimately, that did not quite work as I had anticipated.
So you're going to be in here a while longer.
Well, yes and no. Basically, what they've decided to do is kill me. I've been sentenced to death. In about 1 month, I'm going to be killed. I am disappointed. I did think that I laid out my case pretty well. I was irritated that the clerk had murdered my money. I think we went over this last time.
Yeah, we did.
But, my money had been murdered, so I murdered her in return.
Right.
And I thought, and when I laid that out in the courtroom, I thought everybody was really receptive to it, but in the end, when they, you know, deliberated, it didn't come out in my favor.
Yeah.
It was a unanimous decision.
Yeah, I'm disappointed, too. I can't say that I'm surprised, though.
No?
No. I mean, I kind of knew you going into this and representing yourself was a bad idea.
Yeah.
Just based on what you told me last time.
Yeah, well, I mean, it is kind of unfortunate.
It just, you know, it never helps the case when the murderer matter-of-factly explains the murder to the jury as though it is a common everyday activity.
Yeah, well, but again, like where I'm from, that is a pretty common everyday activity. But
no, where you're from is like that.
Yeah,
it's very much okay to do that where you're from.
Mm-hmm.
But now you're in a place where you're not from, and the rules are different.
I guess you're right.
I was just trying to explain to you that time. I don't know. Maybe you'll get them next time.
What do you mean next time?
Oh, you're right.
Yeah, I'm going to be dead.
Right. I forgot that you were sentenced to death.
Yeah.
So how are they going to do it?
Well, it's kind of an unorthodox method. What they're going to do is they're going to string me up by my legs and have a bunch of blindfolded children beat me like a piñata with baseball bats.
Interesting.
And that's going to go on for a while. And then they're going to string me up by my neck, upside down. My legs and neck are both going to be strung up. So they're going to have a really fat man lay on top of me and ride me like a hammock that way. And it's going to stretch my ankles from my neck, basically breaking my neck.
It's a two-part
murder, yes.
It's a good thing.
Two-part
That's different. I've never heard of that one. I thought the only one allowed really anymore was lethal injection. I thought that was most common.
Well, they're going to inject the fat man with the lethal injection first, and then they're going to lay him on top of me and kill me that way.
Okay.
So it is technically still using the lethal injection. They just added a few more steps.
So the guy who's going to be killing you is going to get the lethal injection before he lays on you?
Right.
Is he hired by the state?
I don't know what he is employed by the state. I don't know what his pay grade is exactly.
But he's employed by.
Yeah, he's not. He's certainly not not a convict or anything.
Interesting. So he's going to take that lethal injection.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Why is that necessary for him if he's just going to lay on top of you?
I think it's some sort of bureaucratic thing. Right. You know, like you said, lethal injection is part of the deal. So if they want to do these elaborate stunt deaths, they have to insert the lethal injection somewhere.
Remember that vote we took as a city for those stunt deaths? We all wanted them.
Yeah.
I know I wanted. I voted for the stunt deaths, the stunt death penalties. But I begin to think they're a bad idea.
Why is that?
Oh, we just put so much money into it.
Yeah.
Buying like ramps.
Yeah, there have been some pretty
cannons,
pretty extreme ones.
Right.
So far, a lot of them have been more like Evel Knievel stunts than they have been executions.
Right.
A lot of flips and you know, rocket-powered cars and a lot of monster truck involvement, things like that.
Remember that murderer, T.J. Whipple?
T.J., yes, I do.
Who was trying to get his murders, he was trying to get convicted for manslaughter instead of first-degree murder.
Uh-huh.
Well, what happened was, remember, they had those two ramps with all the paint and the flames on them, and then they put TJ Whipple on one motorcycle, and they strapped him up with dynamite, and he was set at the beginning of one of the ramps, and then another ramp facing his ramp, same situation, motorcycle and dynamite, except they put a bear with a helmet on that motorcycle,
right?
And then they were forced to drive at full speed, and they were going to collide in the air and explode.
Really? Yeah.
Now, that was awesome. That was really cool.
That was cool.
But from what I heard, the price for that execution was close to, I'd say, $4 million, considering all the TV cameras they had.
A lot of logistics involved. A lot of the ones I recall use like actual cruise missiles from ships that they put in there. The one that comes to my mind is there's this one that's murderer. He was those human hamster balls that they put people in, and they kind of roll around like hamsters.
The big plastic transparent ball.
They put the murderer in there, and then they had a bodybuilder like lift him up over his head. And then, like, press him into the air, and then this cruise missile smashed into the hamster ball. And
that's amazing.
I don't know if you know how much cruise missiles cost these days. They're pretty expensive, millions of dollars.
Yeah, any missile, I assume, is just a ton of money.
Oh, yeah, it was really expensive. That got a lot of people were really interested in that. It was pretty exciting. I don't know that it was able to recoup the costs, though.
Yeah, I mean, those are items that we usually just buy for national defense.
Not right.
You know,
yeah,
we never buy those just for entertainment purposes.
Mm-hmm,
but we did that time, and I think it was actually a pretty good decision.
Well, that one, I mean, it was pretty awesome. There's no really no denying the awesomeness there.
Not at all. We actually, a couple months ago, I heard we bought Truckzilla.
Truckzilla?
From those monster truck rallies, the big metal T-Rex that blows flames out of its nose.
Yeah.
Well, there was this guy, Jabbar Wilcox, was caught shoplifting. He was shoplifting at a Walmart or a Target. I forget which one it was. Anyhow, he was sentenced to death. And
For shoplifting,
yeah. He took one of those
pretty harsh.
Yeah, it was. You know those little machines that you put in a quarter and a little egg comes out? A little plastic egg, and inside is like one of those sticky hands with a long string on it?
Yes.
He stole one of those.
One of the sticky hands?
Well, one of the egg, too, that it came in.
The egg.
Yeah.
Not the machine, just the one like quarter worth of product that came out of the machine.
He took all that. He took that.
All of that ends in multiple ones that was in there, or was it just one egg?
No, he took all of that one egg and that one sticky hand.
Did it just come out accidentally, or did someone else put in like?
Hey, I don't know how he got it. I don't know how criminals do that stuff, but he was a criminal. That's for damn sure.
Yeah.
Anyhow, after he was sentenced to the execution, the way they were going to kill him is they sent him back to his house, right?
Right.
And they locked him indoors, and he was. They just told him to go about his normal activities inside, and they got Truckzilla to smash the house and and blow flames into it.
Yeah,
kind of like a monster movie, like crushing buildings and stuff. And he died.
Yeah.
He definitely died.
I remember one of the controversies that came out of that is that his family was actually in the house at the time that happened. And they were all killed and as well.
Yeah, but then the mayor said that was a mistake. The family was supposed to be outside.
Right.
So it's okay.
Yeah, that was a pretty good one too. I think the Truckzilla was probably pretty expensive. I can only imagine.
Yeah, I mean, they had to recreate it based off schematics of the original.
I thought you said they bought it.
They bought the plans for it. They bought the schematics.
Oh, okay. Yeah, probably even more expensive to build another one.
Hire the labor for it and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Always mistakes when you're building that stuff, too.
Yeah.
Yours sounds pretty interesting, though.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be really exciting.
Well, I think you're going to give people a show.
I really hope so. I'm really pretty excited.
Yeah. No matter how much pain you might be in as you're doing it, I think people are gonna have a good time.
And yeah, and that's really what's important to me.
I think that's what it's all about.
Yeah, giving people a good time.
Right.
Letting them see what's a good show.
Right.
So yeah, I'm you know, there's certainly a serious upside to that in as far as you know, those people getting a show.
Right. I think you just have to be a glass half full kind of guy.
Yeah.
Look at it, you know, with optimistic eyes.
Yeah, I try to do that. I do definitely try to do that. So, you know, that's my fate. That's what's happening to me over the
next,
I guess, in the next month.
That's cool.
What's been going on with you? Cool. You still working at Blockbuster? How's that going?
Yeah, I am working at Blockbuster, actually. I was promoted.
Wow. Impressive. Congratulations. Yeah.
Thank you. I really didn't do much. I just... what, you know, some things happened. You know the VTX adapter?
Yeah, I told you about that one last time, yeah.
Right. Well, for our listeners, again, the VTX adapter is an attachment to the VTR adapter. Right. The VTR adapter then attaches to the VCR player.
Right.
Originally, the VTR was going to make that VCR player play DVDs.
Mm-hmm.
The right. VTX adapter then reconverts it.
Back to a VHS
yes. player.
And you needed that because the tapes at Blockbuster were all VHS.
Correct.
That's kind of rare, actually. I think most Blockbusters have gone to DVDs these days.
Right. But not ours.
Interesting.
Anyhow, I was showing some of the guys at work how the VTX adapter works.
Right.
We were in my three-story smart car,
mm-hmm.
and we were on the top floor there, and we were watching TV. And I was just kind of showing him how it attaches onto the VTR adapter and all that stuff. And it was going to be cool. We were going to watch some movies in there and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I got out of the car to go get some popcorn from the Blockbuster.
Right.
They always have it there in front of the line before you get a movie.
Mm-hmm.
And the VTR, the VTX adapter that I was showing them, it blew up.
Really?
In the car, it blew up in the car.
Oh boy, that's dangerous.
Yeah, it says it on the box actually that it's one of the dangers.
Yeah, I think it's a 90% failure rate for the VTX.
Right. Which in this case, I mean, it didn't work what I had. It was one of the failures.
Right.
But I thought it just wouldn't work. I mean,
yeah. It's,
let alone blow up and catch fire.
Yeah, that's definitely more.
But it happened. I mean, that definitely it exploded and it kind of destroyed my car.
Was anybody hurt?
Only everyone who is inside.
How many people were in there?
About four.
Well, wow, that's pretty bad.
Yeah, those guys, when I left them alone there to go get the popcorn, that's when it blew up. And I could not find any remains.
Hmm. No,
so, maybe they got away.
They probably got away. Have you seen or heard from any of them since?
No, it's been a couple weeks, actually.
Yeah, I'm inclined to think that if they did get away, they would have since reappeared.
Right. I mean, it was a big mess. The cops came and were asking me all these questions about, like, you know, like what happened,
yeah,
what's going on,
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. why is the parking lot full of flames?
Sure. Yeah.
Why is that car all exploded,
mm-hmm. yeah.
over there? And I couldn't help but feel kind of responsible for what happened.
Well, you said you didn't know that it could catch fire or anything, so that's...
Yeah, I didn't know the VTX adapter was that dangerous.
Mm.
However, my smart car, which I've custom built, is very sensitive to heat and weight.
Yeah, but,
and
well,
sort of like...
Four people in a smart car, that's...
And also like a lot of movement,
yeah,
like inside the car. Like if that happens inside, yes, of that smart car... I mean, it's kind of blown up before, like parts of it have blown up, and I didn't tell the guys that. So, I mean, maybe if I would have told them that, they wouldn't have been so inclined to like come into the car.
Yeah, I can imagine.
And just kind of hang out there.
Yeah.
I also locked all the doors when I went to get that popcorn.
Hmm.
Just out of habit.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I can see how you might feel a little responsible.
So when I realized that, I also realized that I couldn't tell the police that.
Yeah, that would make you come off in a pretty bad light, actually.
So I just kind of, I had to make something up right there. And I told him that instead.
What did you tell him? What did you make up?
What I said was that it was an explosion, right?
Right.
The whole thing exploded. Flames and debris everywhere. They asked us, like, what happened?
Mm-hmm.
So I said, me and my friends are going to go get a pizza. At an American restaurant.
American, yeah, okay, sure.
We're going to go get some American pizza,
right,
made right here in the USA.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And they said, okay, and then what happened? And then I said, then out of nowhere, when we were going to get our United States pizza, these four Arab guys, these terrorists, jumped out of the bushes.
The bushes? How many of them were there?
There were four of them.
Four in the bushes. That's...
Just as many terrorists as there were us.
Okay.
And they jumped out and they had machine guns. Like, they had Tommy guns and they were pointing it at us. They were saying, like,
uses Tommy guns.
They were saying, like, and then the terrorists asked us, like, where are you guys going? Now, we said to the terrorists again, we said, we're going to an American restaurant to eat our American food.
We'll put the punch on the American.
You terrorists.
And you called them terrorists.
We knew they were, clearly. Yeah. Well, at least that's what I told police.
Okay.
And there actually weren't any. Anyhow, and then I told police that the instant they heard that we wanted to get American stuff, they just all exploded and then blew up the car and all the guys inside.
Really?
Yeah.
So how did you not die in this scenario?
The way me and the guys talk usually is that, like, all the guys will stand in a group, and then I'll stand really far away and talk to them through a megaphone. And, like, that's how we talk. I'm always so far away that the explosion, like, it couldn't even touch me.
Oh, I see.
It couldn't even touch me at all.
This is just the standard way you guys talk?
Well, I mean,
that's what you told them. And they believe they were totally on board with this whole story?
Yeah.
Well, that's pretty good, then.
Yeah, they were.
Really? Okay. So this actually makes you come off in a pretty good light, I guess.
Right. So, as a result, that was all the other employees at the store.
Yeah.
That was my two coworkers, the shift leader, and then the manager, store manager.
Right.
So, because there are no more people working at that store currently, I am now store manager.
Right. Okay, so you're the only employee of the store?
Right. Also, because, and this is unrelated to this event, because I don't get actual money as payment, I'm also now living in that store.
Right. I guess you'd have to, since you're living in the car. So.
Right. I mean, the car, I was sleeping in that car.
Right. So since that's gone, you're living in the store.
Right.
And who knows about that exactly? Do the Blockbuster management know? Or?
They don't know about it right now. I assume when more employees are hired on, it'll be harder to hide.
Right. And also, have they actually officially made you manager, or is this just a position that you've bestowed upon yourself since you're the only one?
I haven't been told.
Right. You just kind of assumed that since you're the only
one. Well, you know, like they said, one of the guys from corporate came by after the accident, and he was saying, you know, he was just being kind of nice. He was saying that, you know, hey, I know this is traumatic for you, because I told him the same story I told the cops.
Sure.
He said, I know this is kind of traumatic for you, and, you know, you'll get through it. We'll all get through it. The store will be back up and running. It's terrible that all this stuff happened. He said that you shouldn't. He said, don't come to work.
Okay.
Basically. And I should take a lot of time off.
Okay, just to cope with the trauma.
Right, right. And he said you should take time off. Then he said we'll find another manager for the store.
Right. Okay.
So, what I think he was implying is that they'll find me, like, they're gonna make me manager. It was kind of like a joke.
They're saying that you take time off and they'll find a manager. Like, do they mean that after you have taken the time off, they'll find you after?
Right. Or, well, maybe that's kind of the joke. I kind of interpreted it as like, hey, haha, take some time off. Psych, you're the new manager.
I guess that's one interpretation of that. Well, so congratulations.
Thank you.
On the promotion that, well, hopefully it is actually in the books. And what about your financials? Have they continued to pay you, or do they still think you're taking time off and not paying you? Or are you even taking time off? Like, actually, do you shut down the store and sleep in it? Or how does that work?
No, I'm not taking time off. There's a lot of construction going on in front of the store because of the explosion.
Right.
So the store, I guess, doesn't look open, but, you know, I keep it open on the inside.
Do the customers keep coming in?
No.
No.
No, there aren't any customers, especially recently.
Yeah, so you're not really open, per se. Or do you just actually, like, man the registers all day waiting?
Well, that's all you can do if there aren't any customers. A lot of times I'll just, you know, like, I'll watch, like, the construction guys fix stuff in front of the store.
Well, okay. I mean, I guess that works. That's good. That's good. I mean,
oh, it's good for me. Like, I was kind of worried that maybe I wouldn't that maybe like Blockbuster wouldn't be where I want it to work.
But wouldn't recognize your talents. And...
Right. But, you know, I'm starting to like it ever since they, you know, they put their trust in me as manager.
Right. Yeah, that is a pretty big confidence booster. And also, presumably, eventually they will actually give you a raise to go along with this. And I remember last time we were talking about how you were $5 million in debt and you were trying to get, you know, knock that debt off. If you're the store manager, that should go towards that debt. So that should help you out in that department also.
Right. We haven't talked about a raise yet. There's no real extra money. And yeah, I am that much in debt. But you know, the managerial position brings with it a lot of responsibility, and I think a lot of those responsibilities warrant more money. I'll get it soon. I'll get that pay raise soon.
That's good. That's something to look forward to.
Yeah. The sooner I can get out of debt, the sooner I can pay back the $5 million. You know, it'd be like shackles being lifted
off
of me.
One of the shackles I'm wearing.
I guess mine are just proverbial shackles.
Yeah, mine are very much literal.
Yeah.
So,
Well, I mean, you did kill somebody.
I did. I have no regrets.
Really?
No, really I don't. I mean, it's not looking forward to dying. But, what are you gonna do? No.
What can you do? And what you can do is nothing. It's you right now, you can do nothing.
That's right.
You can simply, you can just die.
That's the plan.
There it is.
That is the plan.
Should we take a call?
I think we should. I think we should take a call.
All right.
So you've brought the equipment from last time. It's
again, yeah, I've brought all of our equipment so we can still receive calls here in the penitentiary.
Now, on the upside, it looks like that's not going to be an issue for you much longer since I'm going to be dead.
True.
So that's a bonus.
I don't have to lug all this stuff around.
I'm pretty excited about that.
Okay.
All right. But caller, what would you like to talk about today?
I am Robo Gorpot.
And I am Robo Daniel.
And we are robots from Mars.
Robots from Mars.
Mars.
All right, let's cut to the chase. We need you guys to get off, to stop making your radio show.
We want to make our radio show in peace. We don't like you stealing our listeners.
Which you have done.
A lot.
And I can tell you how many listeners you've stolen as soon as I run some calculations.
Beep, 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 beep.
Alright, I'll tell you later.
The bottom line here is we're coming to Earth and we're gonna stop this crap ourselves.
That's right. We will be right at your door, knocking on your doors.
We're gonna knock your door down and we're gonna come in. And
we'll knock your door down.
Knock it down.
With our feet.
With our furious robot feet.
And we will plant our foot in the exact place on the door that will make it get knocked down by simply making a few calculations. Knock it down.
Knock it down.
That's the second call we've gotten from those guys.
Right. Last time they were talking, they were saying the same basic thing. They didn't say, they wanted us to get off the air, but they weren't going so far as to say that they were actually coming to Earth to make us stop.
Right.
So this should be interesting. When are you guys coming?
We are coming very soon.
Tuesday.
Tuesday.
Wednesday.
We don't know. Soon, you better worry. Watch out. We're coming. We'll be there.
Weep. Weep, beep, 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 beep.
So you're going to break down the door, you say? That's not, I mean, we could certainly blockade the door.
Right, I mean, you can move any amount of furniture in front of that door.
Sure, and we could put boards in front of it.
Right.
Anything. Furniture, you know, it's not a big problem. We can easily do that.
Then we will come through the windows.
Windows break because they are glass.
Out of them is made windows.
Well, I mean, we could blockade the windows, too. Put bars up and stuff. You
bars.
Know?
I mean, boards again.
Yeah.
Boards work pretty well for all openings in the house.
Yeah. We could come in through the chimney like Santa Claus.
Right down the chimney.
Right down the chimney, bringing not presents, but ourselves.
We could probably put metal grates up on the chimney, something like that. It's not
yeah,
a big deal.
You can stuff
actually,
the
wait
chimney.
A minute. Why, we're not in a chimney. We're in prison.
Right.
What the hell are you talking about? How do you guys exactly plan to get into prison?
We're robots.
And we will commit a crime.
We use mind control and all sorts of other science fiction things. We have lasers and stuff.
We do have lasers. Lasers that shoot from the backs of our eyes, through our brains, and out the back of our heads.
Zap, zap. That's gonna be the sound you hear when we shoot you with our lasers.
So you intend to break into the prison using mind control and eye lasers, and then you're going to track us down, shoot us with lasers, and that's gonna be your Earth expedition.
That is a correct calculation.
Calculation.
Beware.
And it seems like they've hung up.
I'm not too worried, to be quite honest.
You know, I'm not so worried either.
I mean, we'll see how things go. This prison is pretty well blockaded and stuff.
I agree.
It's going to be a big deal. Of course, I'll be dead in a month anyway, so if they're not here before a month, then kind of a moot point. But, yeah, I'm not worried. I think it will be.
No, we'll be fine. I mean, there's so much security at this prison.
Yeah.
For you, at least. I mean,
right.
I live in a blockbuster.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, how are they even find me? They can't find us. I mean, the planet, they have to scour the entire planet.
Yeah, it's pretty preposterous that they could possibly find us.
Right.
They are robots, but being robots does not necessarily give them the abilities to track and locate specific people easily.
Right. So, I agree.
Yeah, we'll...
We'll see.
So, anyways, we could go on to our History by the Letters section.
Yes, now, every show.
We are now... at letter G.
Correct.
Got a couple of big things for you here. One of the first things that we want to mention is gold. So gold was actually created in a laboratory by dogs.
Correct.
These were mutant dogs
mm-hmm.
that had been combined between dogs and sloths and snowmen. To create these almighty genius dog scientists. And these dog scientists combined, plutonium, uranium, salt, pork, and dreams all together to create gold.
A fine mixture.
It is. It is a fine mixture. And those are all valuable things. So put together, naturally, you got something real valuable there.
Right. What kind of equipment were they using back then? Because that was a while ago to make this gold.
A lot of the science fiction equipment that you see in like the old Frankenstein movies.
Right.
With the big switch that they pull down and you know all sorts of electricity.
So basically you would throw that stuff into a vat.
Uh-huh.
There'd be some sort of apparatus to the left with a giant lever.
Yeah, and they pulled down the lever.
You'd pull that and that would make the gold.
Yeah, there would be a lot of electricity and laughter and all sorts of sinister noises.
Right.
Went along with that.
And I imagine a lot like lightning would strike.
Oh, sure. Lots of lightning.
Interesting. So now what form would that gold take once it came out? Would it be solid gold in the shape of the vat? Because they had to craft it into jewelry and stuff at some point.
Well, no, it wasn't exactly in the shape of a vat. It came out in the mold of the face of Theodore Roosevelt.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Why?
No one knows. No one truly...
But that was the first ever mold.
Well, it wasn't actually molded that way. It was actually like a big vat. But when they made it into gold, it came out in the shape of Theodore Roosevelt's face.
Oh, and that was before Roosevelt was born?
Yes.
So it's kind of like a foreshadowing of some
in,
sort.
In some
like
ways,
a prophecy.
Yeah, it was very bizarre.
That's amazing. Do you think the genius dog scientists had anything to do with that?
They may well have been. They may have actually created Theodore Roosevelt in their lab.
Right.
You know, this is all very mysterious. And, you know, considering the similarity between that that scenario and the Frankenstein scenario. Then Theodore Roosevelt may well have been made out of discarded human body parts and brought to life in that very lab.
Right.
By those genius dogs. Yeah.
It's weird because I've also heard that those scientists sort of, I mean, there's that genius dog science that they subscribe to is kind of like a black art. It's like black magic in a way.
Yeah, it's a very mysterious field of science.
Yeah.
There aren't a lot of experts in that field today, but those that are highly sought after.
Right.
And very...
You can kind of tell from the way they look, too. I mean, you can kind of pick out your genius dog scientist.
You can. They look somewhat sinister, and they you know, walk around, you know, moving their fingers together in a sinister fashion. They have these big evil grins on their face. And then, of course, they're also dogs.
Right.
So there are some ways.
It's a lot in the face.
A lot in the face.
I mean, what I've seen in pictures and stuff is that they have, you know, it's the dog. They're wearing, like, a big cloak, and they have a crystal ball in one hand.
Right.
And a broom in the other.
A broom. Just like a witch.
Right.
Right. And the crystal ball, is that like a, like one of those snow globes with some sort of foreshadowing in that, actually?
Well, from what I've read, the crystal ball actually contained the scientist dog's brain.
Really?
So they had to guard it carefully.
Oh, I would imagine.
That's why they always held it out like a server at a restaurant holds a tray.
Right.
They always kind of hold it up like that.
Right. And what if someone were to take that ball?
That they would... be that dog scientist would probably be at the mercy of that person.
Really. Yeah. So if you were to capture a bunch of these globes, then you would have an army of dog scientists at your command.
You can't really control. I don't think the dog, unless you're you're experienced in the field of neuroscience.
Right. So a experienced neuroscientist could steal these globes, and be able to. You know, using their neuroscience.
In that case, then yes.
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 Okay.
Now, that could be a very powerful army because what we haven't mentioned is that those dog scientists can be anywhere from 12 to 90 feet tall.
Very large dog scientists.
Very large.
Very large dog scientists. And obviously the lab that would contain dog scientists would be very large as well.
Right. Right. Well, most of that body mass was meant to store brains.
Lots and lots of brains.
Basically backup brains.
Backup brains.
So the arms of every dog scientist was filled from shoulder to wrist with about 8 or 9 brains.
And they would be pretty big brains, too, if we're talking about like a 90-foot dog.
So oh, yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Right. And these brains are just floating around in slime?
Yeah, there's something similar to like embryonic fluid inside each dog scientist.
Do they have hearts, lungs, anything like that, or are they just full of brains and slime?
They have all the brains. They have a pancreas as well.
So brains, pancreas, and slime.
Right.
Okay. Okay. So wait a minute. If they have all these backup brains, why is the brain in the crystal ball so valuable?
Because the brain in the crystal ball needs to activate the other brains inside of them.
I see.
And that is where the power is.
I see.
It's the main brain mainframe. Membrane.
I see. And so, yeah, that's pretty impressive.
It is. And, you know, another thing about these dogs is that they would all... I mean, they had rank.
Oh, yeah?
Kind of like an army, which is weird. They all had rank. Hmm. You were either a membrane or a non-membrane. And once you became a membrane, you would get a membranes-only jacket.
That must have been very important to these dog scientists to have that jacket.
Oh, you bet it was, yeah. The jacket was made of this cruddy red nylon and had yellow lettering embroidered onto it that said membranes-only across the back.
Pretty big deal.
Kind of like a varsity jacket.
Yeah, and also, considering the different sizes of these dog scientists, they would be custom-made.
Absolutely.
So that's a pretty big deal.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, and also, whoever made those jackets must have been getting a lot of business from dog scientists.
You bet.
So.
You bet.
I wonder how many dog scientists there are today. Have there been many? Has there been a lot in dog science?
Yeah, that was a long time ago. I mean, it was thought for a while that they were extinct.
Right. But they did a lot of their work underground, didn't they?
They did.
So, I mean, and I'm not talking about like in secret, I'm talking about literally underground. You know, there's a rumor going around that a lot of these dog scientists these days are actually in sewers underneath the surface.
That they're right below us and they're still conducting their experiments.
Yeah, yeah. No one really knows exactly, but right. There's a lot of rumors going around.
I've heard that. I've heard that. I just don't know what to believe, you know? Because you never see them... You don't see them with your own eyes anymore. Just,
no.
They're
no,
not around.
It's just rumors. It's...
Right. So. Item number 2 on our history by the letters, letter G, this week.
Guarantees.
The guarantee. Now, guarantees these days are usually made, you know, your local car commercials.
Sure,
somebody
sure.
guarantees you a deal. You
mm-hmm.
know, if I can't beat the price, I'll just give you the car for free.
Guarantee.
I guarantee it.
Guarantee.
They always make guarantees on TV.
Men's warehouse guy. That guy always guaranteeing things.
He's always guaranteeing it. What people don't know is that the first ever guarantee was made a long time ago.
Yeah, a lot of people think it was just the guarantees began like 15, 20 years ago.
No, they've been around.
Yeah.
They've absolutely been around. No, I meet a lot of young kids who think that guarantees are like a new thing.
Yeah, really like a new fad going around.
Right.
Kind of like bell bottoms.
Right, right. What a lot of people don't know is that the very first guarantee was made by the sun monster
right.
to all the plants of the earth.
Sure.
Millions of years ago.
Millions.
Millions of years ago.
Right.
I've read all about it in books. At the library.
Right.
Basically, the sun monster was a kind of being
right.
that used to walk the earth.
Right, and this was kind of a manifestation of the sun's will on
exactly.
the fashion.
You could call it the sun's earth ambassador.
Right,
almost.
Right.
Now, the sun monster, visually, he looked a lot like that character Cinder from Killer Instinct, the video
right,
game.
Right, yeah, like a flaming humanoid form.
A big muscular man made of flames.
Right.
His skin looks like our Hubble photographs of the sun's surface.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense.
He would walk the earth, and he wasn't exactly a nice guy.
Yeah, that's kind of a rumor going around
true.
About the sun monster.
Well, the guarantee he made the plants was that he would give them enough sun so that they could grow and they wouldn't wilt and die.
Right.
Now, this guarantee was broken immediately.
Yeah. Oh, one of the things about the sun monster is that he tended to make guarantees that he couldn't always deliver on. There's only so much sun that can go around. And he gave that one guarantee to the plants. He gave that same guarantee to the lobsters of the planet. At that time, lobsters relied on photosynthesis to survive. They would grow
right.
Vines and things out of their carapaces. And so the sun made those two guarantees, and there was just not enough sun to go around.
You can't deliver enough sun to both of those groups.
You can't.
No, you cannot. So, having set the groundwork for conflict there.
Right.
Between the plants and the lobsters. You know, immediately the plants realize that, hey, we're not getting enough sun.
Right.
The lobsters realize the same thing. We're not getting enough sun.
Right.
So when they investigated to see who was stealing all their sun, well, the plants saw that it was the lobsters, and
mm-hmm.
the lobsters saw it was the plants.
Good.
Warfare. Instantly.
Absolutely.
Bloodshed.
Oh, man. Yeah,
you had so much blood being spilt.
So much.
By
it
the
was
two sides.
So ruthless. It was
so
worse
gruesome.
Than the Civil War. There was
absolutely.
No comparison.
No, not at all. They fought for years and years and
decades
years.
Decades and decades and decades.
And, you know, eventually, the lobsters evolved into human beings.
Right.
The plants evolved into fire.
Mm-hmm.
And the two have been enemies ever since.
That's right.
And that's, you know, you always wonder, why is fire man's worst enemy?
You do. A lot of people wonder that all the time.
We all are wondering that all the time.
That's true. That's another misconception out there, actually, is that people think that humans evolved from monkeys, whereas they actually evolved from lobsters.
Correct.
And I think a lot of that misinformation may be put out there deliberately by the sun monster, just to trick people. So.
It's true. It's just another one of those guarantees.
Another one of those guarantees. Not even true.
Not even true. It's kind of a shame that the sun monster, all you know, the first ever guarantee was one that wasn't fulfilled.
It is true.
Yeah, it wasn't kept.
And it's quite a shame.
Yeah. I mean, he went on to make a lot of other guarantees.
Yeah.
He said that he could successfully drive a van through one end of a TJ Maxx and out the other. Through both the walls, and the van would still be running.
And that did not come to fruition.
No,
did
it? It didn't. No, he went through the first wall. He ran over about 10 people.
Right.
And the car just kind of crapped out.
Yeah. And, you know, you almost wonder if this is actually what the sun wants to be happening on planet Earth. Are these actually the things that the sun wants this sun monster to be delivering, the messages that he wants to be delivered to the planet?
He is a representative.
He is. I mean, you know, he must have a lot of contact with the sun. So, I mean, really, there's no real real reason to doubt that. So the only conclusion you can draw is that the sun is an asshole. And that's a shame.
I hate to look at it that way, but I really can't look at it any other way.
No, true.
No, I can't think any other way. I mean, I agree with you.
It is disappointing.
Well, history by the letters.
That's right. It's another brain-shaking edition. So, how about we go to the phones one more time here?
I think we should.
We've got another caller on the line here. Hello, what's your name?
I don't really have a name. I'm a crocodile.
Is that a joke?
No, it's not a joke. I'm a crocodile from the sewers.
That's interesting. You know, I knew a lot of crocodiles when I was in the sewer.
You had to flee from them.
I did. It was not a very positive relationship, but they didn't speak English.
Are you really a crocodile?
Yeah, I am. You wonder why I speak English? Well, there has been some toxins leaked into the sewer since you've been gone, Richard. Richard, we need you to come back. We need you to come back. There's been a war. It's a damn shame. The humans, they've gotten weapons. They've gotten weapons. All sorts of high-tech lasers, missiles, rockets, bombs, telekinetic blasters, all sorts of these kinds of things. And us crocodiles, while we did develop the ability to speak, we're just getting torn down. These weapons are just too much. This war has to end. And we need you to stop it, Richard.
What? All right. Wait. If this is true, how the hell did the humans get this insane technology?
Well, it was the dog scientists. The dog scientists have been supplying the humans with technology ever since you left, Richard. And that was the beginning of the Great War.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's heavy stuff.
It is heavy. I'm curious why you want me to come back down there. I don't know what I could be able to contribute to the situation.
You're a human, and you must know that it's wrong what they're doing. You must speak with them, change their minds, let them see the greatness that an alliance, a human-crocodile alliance, could bring. It could bring about a whole new era in the sewers. One day we may be able to rise to the surface and overthrow the president.
Now, why would you want to do that, Mr. Crocodile?
Okay, well, I'm sorry there's a war going on, Richard. You can't go back down to the sewer and help the crocodiles?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, I don't want to go back down to the sewers because a lot of my friends were eaten by crocodiles and I was attacked by crocodiles on a number of occasions, so I don't have a lot of goodwill towards you. It's a shame that the humans have got on a power trip, but, you know, that's just how it goes. And on top of that, I am actually in prison, so there's not any way I could get out, and I'm going to be dead within a month. So, be that as it may, it's a shame, the situation that you're in, but there's really not much I can do about it.
We are aware of that, Richard, and that's why we have crocodiles infiltrating the prison right now.
There's a crocodile attacking that guard!
Crocodile's actually here.
Come with me. You are summoned to the sewers to assist the crocodiles in the prison.
Richard, this is your chance. We gotta get out of here.
Oh my god, yeah, I guess you're right.
Alright, get up. Take all the stuff. Get up, let's go.